Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hi, everyone. This is Lori Peters at the Happiness Hangout. Glad you could be with us this evening. And as usual, you know, we're changing our format a little bit, and you know that we've been having our guests on that are discussing happiness with respect to relationships, specifically to personal romantic relationships and everything that goes along with that. So whether you're single, with somebody, wish you were with somebody better, divorced, engaged, married, anywhere in between, we talk about relationships with respect to any of that. So we're going to continue to do that today. And with us, we have Lynn Smith. And I want to tell you a little bit about her. Lynn Smith, she spent most of her life growing up and living in England and currently lives in Spain. As a teenager, she was subjected to several traumatic experiences that went on to impact her ability to trust other people and to love and enjoy relationships, especially with men. This had gone on for her for many decades. As a result, she felt driven to heal herself and discover how to form healthy relationships. Over the past 30 years, based upon her personal research and training with the world's leading industry experts, plus her vast experiential learning, she has subsequently designed and presented her own course programs to share these breakthrough relationship techniques with women across the globe. Lynn, the Queen of Hearts, has a proven track record as an international relationship coach, inspirational speaker, and best-selling author. Understanding the polarization of masculine and feminine energy resulted in her creating massive attraction and a passionate commitment to relationships. This enabled her to not only feel secure and protected, but also to feel alive, fulfilled, and finally at peace. Lynn makes a difference by helping you make a difference. Lynn's mission is to empower you to reach your full potential in attracting and creating the ultimate, intimate, committed relationship and to have a positive impact in reducing divorce, domestic violence, and suicide. Lynn Smith, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Thank you, Lori. That was a fabulous introduction. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's so glad to have you here. You know, we used to talk about happiness in general as it related to your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, and worked with my branding consultant and realized, you know, my passion is really around writing and speaking around relationships. And I'm actually writing my first book about my tumultuous relationships going through life. And this may be very different than yours, but it's really a message of hope. And I'm sure that falls into the realm very much of what you do too, when we talk about hope. So I thought I would just kind of start out by asking you to tell everybody a little bit about your expertise in relationships.
Yeah, I think that sort of naturally followed on from my own sort of journey of healing, if you like. I can now look back on my whole life and think, you know, this is what's led me up to the very point where I'm at currently right now. And a lot of that has been based around what happened in my teens, which was experienced a lot of sexual violence at the hands of men. On the back of that, then having a bit of a promiscuous phase. And then on the back of that, subsequently marrying my ex-husband, I was with for 23 years, and although we had a happy, great relationship in terms of, you know, it's very calm and peaceful, I always felt like there was something missing. You know, I just felt like it was just unfulfilling for some reason, and I was just settling for this relationship. And I realized it was because, what's the best way to describe it? It was because of what happened to me previously in my teens had made me very, very protective of myself. And all I wanted in a relationship at that moment in time was to feel protected and to feel secure. You know, sort of love was more or less secondary, and passion was definitely not even on my radar, if you see what I mean. So you know, for 23 years, that suited me. And it wasn't until later on I realized, you know what, I feel like relationships, you know, need to be fulfilling. They need to be happy and they need to be, you know, passionate. And I just wasn't feeling it in my relationship with my ex-husband. And I realize now, you know, having been on that journey of self-development and having done loads of research with hundreds of the world's leading experts in personal development and in relationships, that it was myself, you know, that was contributing to that scenario, in that, you know, I was hanging on to my masculine energy, if you like, in wanting to carry on protecting myself and wanting to be in control of that relationship. And now I've got a phenomenal relationship with my soulmate, Paula, who I've been with now for 7 years. And we do have that passion. We do have that peace and calm, but we do have that passion. And I just feel absolutely alive in this relationship and totally fulfilled. And this is what I want to share with other women and you know, for them to have that same level of relationship as what I've got now.
Well, that's a very beautiful thing, because really it does seem like you've gone on a very, a journey filled with lessons learned the hard way, you know, and I know that's the way a lot of us human beings learn lessons. And, you know, I'm all for peacefulness, but also I know there are going to be challenges. We all know there are going to be challenges. And when you come out on the other end, boy, I don't know about you, but I always feel glad. Boy, I'm glad that's over, first of all. And second, you know we're going to have them. So, you know, I'd love to help people as they're working through their journeys. And I know that you do too. And maybe we can, put something out there that helps women, specifically women, kind of open their eyes or have aha moments. So it sounds to me like you went in phases, and you seem, it just appears from the little bit of what you said that you've grown through each phase of it, all leading up to kind of the ultimate partnership that you wanted.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really was craving that in the latter years of my marriage. And I know now, to be honest, looking back, if I knew then what I know now, I could probably have made that relationship just as fulfilling and just as passionate as what I have now with my relationship with Paul. It just, I didn't have those skills and knowledge at that particular moment in time.
Well, you can't do what you don't know. And
exactly.
Unfortunately, you know, I know people get hurt. We all have been there. I think just you telling this story gives women, again, hope in knowing it's out there, but it all comes down to the person and within themselves to be able to get there. And I know you can't be attracted to somebody that you're not attracted to. I know that we can't force things. But yet at the same time, if there really is love there, you know, we don't always have the resources or the tools, the communication tools to get to where we want to be. So I hear what you're saying about, I could have done it. We probably could have all done it all with multiple people if they were all decent, nice human beings and we were attracted to them and they had lots of great qualities, but you get there when you get there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe, you know, everything happens for a reason and you're right where you're meant to be at any given moment in time.
Well, I hope ladies, you know, and we have men and women listeners, but so I think it could apply to either gender. But as you're thinking about, you know, is there hope out there? Are there possibilities? Can I really take my current relationship or get in one that really could take me to this level? And there's two people sitting right here telling you that it is definitely possible. So you know, you mentioned something about having masculine energy. And I know that men and women both have masculine and feminine energy. Can you expand upon that thought process of masculine and feminine energy? And what does it mean within our relationships?
Yeah, I don't think in general, most people know that we all embody masculine and feminine energy. And if you're typically a heterosexual woman, then you are the feminine energy in your relationship. And the masculine energy is obviously the man, but that isn't always the case. You know, as you can sort of see in same-sex relationships, for example, some women can embody and be the masculine energy at their core. So I'm just talking hypothetically going forward that you know, for the most part, most women are in heterosexual relationships. So I'm talking as if most women listening to this are going to be the feminine energy from that context. And if you are, then what we tend to do as women is, you know, if we have suffered at the hands of men, you know, whether that's violence or some sort of lack or loss, you know, even on the back of, you know, a breakup of a relationship that hasn't had any trauma attached to it, or, you know, even if it's a death that's caused the breakup of that relationship. What tends to happen is that women then sort of go into their default masculine energy and want to protect themselves from future hurt. And when you do that in a relationship, you're actually in a position where you're wanting to control that relationship. You know, you're taking on more masculine traits without even realizing that you're doing it. And for me, it felt like I'd got a suit of armor that I was wearing throughout my relationship with my ex-husband, for example. And I was quite cold and quite frigid in that relationship. I'm not saying that's the same, you know, for all women that are exuding masculine energy, that they're going to exude that. But, you know, for me, that's how it was. You know, because I wanted to protect myself from opening my heart fully from any future trauma. And I think, to be honest, we've all been parented in the modern world and educated in the modern world to be more masculine as well, because, you know, we're looking at men as our role models for success in the workplace. And that's great. You know, I'm all for that. And equality and women's rights and women's votes, I'm all for that 100%. But, you know, having that masculine energy in our intimate relationships and wanting to control that relationship doesn't really work very well. It can work to a degree, because I was happy in my relationship with my ex, you know, relatively. It was an okay relationship, but I just didn't feel completely fulfilled. And I realize now it's because I was wearing the trousers in that relationship. And I was quite often, without even realizing it, emasculating him by taking full control. And that doesn't work. You know, if you want equality in a relationship and a really phenomenal, passionate, healthy relationship, then you have to learn that equality means that polarization of energies. In other words, let him be the man and you be the woman, and you embrace your feminine energy and let him embrace his masculine energy and step into that. And that's when you get the passion. That's when you get real intimacy, and that's when you get real fulfillment and peace in your relationships.
You know, you are really making me think, because, you know, I'm going to be married for the first time in about 4 months here. I'm a much older bride. I've been through a lot.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've been through a lot of relationships. And one thing you say, you know, my future husband is very laid back. I am definitely the extrovert. He's the introvert. I am very strong. He's very laid back. I tend to be, you know, I'm running. And he's like, oh, do whatever. So there's talk to me about the difference if we're in partnerships, men and women, where what's the difference between someone like me who might be strong and he's laid back? Is it possible that women like us are exuding our masculine energy too much?
Yeah, I certainly think it is possible. I did feel like that, in both my relationships, you know, both with my ex, I was with for 23 years, who was very, as I say, I was very controlling in that relationship and didn't even realize that I was being until I went on this journey of discovery. You know, that was great and okay, but I was very much the one that was leading that relationship. And, you know, what I didn't realize was, you know, I see this quite a lot within relationships, is that I was trying to change him to be more like me. And then when he did become more like me, I didn't find him attractive anymore.
All right. That's what happens. Oh,
yeah, so that's exactly what happens. You know, and women do this continuously, don't they, in their relationships? They think, oh, it's okay, I'll change him and, you know, mold him to become more like me. And you do. And then what happens is, without realizing why, you suddenly are not attracted to that anymore, because he's become a bit more feminized on the back of that controlling masculine persona that you've been exuding on him all those years.
Right. And, you know, there are strong women out there who are very feminine. And I do want to believe that, you know, when we're together, it's just Ryan and I together. I do want to believe that he very much takes on the masculine role, but in life, I'm really the one. So I probably need to step back from that a little. It's a little bit tough. Do you have any recommendations how, if like, you know, you're exuding, whether you're a man exuding the other side or a woman exuding the other side of the energy, how do you pull back on that? Do you have some like general recommendations?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously learning, you know, some sort of quite a lot of it's around the communication skills and allowing him to wear the trousers in a relationship. In other words, allowing him the space to pursue you. So in other words, through the dating phase, you know, when I'm talking to women that are dating, I'm always saying to them, you know, use the 80-20 rule, allow him to make the contact 80% of the time and you 20% of the time. So, you know, it's in the man's DNA to be the pursuer and the woman to be the receiver. And that's, you know, been the case right since the Stone Age. You know, that hasn't changed. What makes relationships work and operate at their very best has been within us right since mankind first walked the earth. It's just that we've, you know, changed, obviously, and evolved since then and been conditioned to behave otherwise in our intimate relationships. And that's why relationships are breaking down such a lot these days, because we've lost that true authenticity of who we really are as men and women. You know, we've almost become gender neutral, which has meant, you know, we've become gender neutered in a lot of respects because, you know, this equality has been misperceived of what that actually means. And in relationship, it means, you know, if you're going to have the passion and intensity that you really want and really be living a relationship at its highest level, there needs to be that polarization of energies, not that similarity. Similarity just creates friendships.
Well, you know, that's funny you say that because I absolutely believe that to be true as far as, you know, letting the man do his role. You know, women can do whatever they want these days, anything they want. But when it comes to relationships, it's been proven through research that you've got to let the guy be the guy and the lady be the lady, where he is pursuing. He is, you know, let him plan the dates. Let him do whatever he might do. Let, you know, don't call him, don't text him, don't let him take the lead, etc. And I guess my question is, what happens after that all happens and you really become yourself? And myself is to be a stronger woman. I take charge. I often, though, when we're going to go do something, I'll say, oh, you know, you tell me what, you know, you want to do. I'll try to put it back on him. And I know he's going to listen to this and laugh. He's on to me. But but oh, boy. But still, you know, once that pursuit is over and say you're engaged, living with or married and you're really, truly yourself, then do you see a problem there where if you do tend to be that kind of woman?
No, I mean, I've learned, you know, even in my relationship with Paul now, we live together, we work together even, and I still am pursued by him because I still have that 80-20 rule. I don't contact him nowhere near as much as he contacts me, initiates it. You know, like I say, I use that 80-20 rule even now in my relationship with him.
Oh, okay.
So that dance still plays out, and I call it, you know, the dance of love, because it is a bit like a dance. You know, you have to let the man lead. Otherwise, you're going to trip over him, you know, and have a calamity.
It's just it's so funny you're saying that, because we're taking ballroom dance lessons for the wedding because we have like a big band, swing band. And it's so funny because she keeps saying, you're trying to pull him. Lori, you're trying to pull him. You're trying to take charge. And he just cracks up. And she's right. I do keep doing that. But I agree. I mean, he really does show me great admiration. He's always, you know, the one stepping forward. So maybe because in that respect, maybe it's working. But I am glad to be reminded of that.
Yeah, and there's ways of communicating whereby, you know, if you want to communicate effectively. There's a way to communicate where he doesn't hear it as a complaint, or you controlling him or comparing him to something or somebody else, which men really hate, and that's a big turnoff for them. So if you say, want to do something, it's communicating in a way that's about you, not him. So in other words, if you don't think he takes you out very regularly or not enough, and you'd really want to be able to go out regularly, you know, you can just express that as your desire in the context of, oh, I'd love to go out for a meal. You know, I love it when I get taken out for a meal. And you're not making that about him. You're making that about you. You know, you're not put the you word in there. You're just expressing that. That's what you love to do. And men love making their women happy. So it's saying that, but without having any expectations, because sometimes he will think, you know what, I've not took her out for a while, I'll take her out. And other times he might not. He might not decide to fulfill that desire. So it's not attaching any expectations to that, but just expressing your desire and giving him that opportunity to then, you know, think about it and think, oh, actually, you know what, you know, I'm going to take her out. And quite often what happens in relationships, instead of a woman expressing her desire, what she'll say instead is, oh, you never take me out for a meal, or you should take me out for a meal. And it's that you word that makes him feel like he's being criticized, and he's less likely to do it on the back of feeling that pressure.
That makes a lot of sense. I thought that was the example that you were going to use, because that's probably what does happen. And often, you know, I really try to be aware, and I use the word conscious of his needs. And what, and I know he loves to stay home. I love to go out. I mean, we're very, very opposite. So we really try to find a balance of both. And I know he'll say, what are we doing tonight? And I'll go, no plans whatsoever. And he'll go, yes, you know, he loves it. So when you find things like that, you have to be aware of them and use them, don't you think?
Definitely, yeah. And, you know, don't make your man your whole world. You know, you've got girlfriends out there that can also fulfill your desires. So don't make him wrong if he doesn't, you know, meet that expectation. You know, just keep expressing it now and again, you know, from as I say, a place of not having any expectations around it. And, you know, if, for example, he's not really a social butterfly and you do like to socialize, then, you know, get that need met by your girlfriends instead.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And there are times when you'd really like to do something romantic. But, you know, there's always the right time to ask, too. Not when you're running around doing 40 things and your voice tone sounds agitated and all
exactly.
of that. You got to do it at the right time. So that really makes sense. So what I hear you saying is, no matter what phase of relationship that you're in, make sure, you know, let a guy be a guy, let a lady be a lady, and remember what it was like when you were dating and he pursued you. You know, you still want to allow them, you still want to allow that sort of
space, I call it.
Yeah, there you go, space in that relationship. So he can be he and you can be you. So that's great advice. And really what you're talking about, in essence, is male-female relationship communication. And so, you know, I did hear you did give us, you know, a tip to remember to do. What else about communications? Like, as far as what kinds of things do you like to talk to people about men and women, or any partnership that's a loving partnership? What would you like to say around communications and conflicts and such?
Right. Okay. Then this one was a real big learning curve for me, because in my relationship with my ex-husband, it was all calm and sweet. He was very laid back, no conflicts whatsoever. I think that's probably, it's not because I was confrontational in that relationship. We were both very laid back, but I think it's because he just wanted to keep the peace, you know, and allow me to take control of that relationship. That there was no agitation, no anger, no conflicts whatsoever. Enter Paul. You know, my soulmate, who I've been with for the last 7 years. And in the first 3 years of that relationship, loads of conflict, loads of arguments. And I just couldn't understand it. I thought, what's going on here? It must be his fault, right? Because I never had this with my ex. Yeah. And that's what I truly believed initially, until I learned, actually, you know what? I need to take a look at myself here, because Paul is such a very masculine man. You know, he oozes masculine alpha maleness in a healthy way. I'm saying that because a lot of people think, oh, health, they tend to have this perception of an alpha male as being quite aggressive and nasty and chauvinistic. Well, that's not the case at all. In a healthy male, you know, an alpha male is the chivalrous one. You know, he's assertive, but you know, he knows how to treat his woman like a queen, and he worships her. Mm-hmm. So that's the sort of relationship I'm talking about here, you know, in my relationship with him. But we have these conflicts, and I can't understand it. I thought, why is this going on? As something I'm missing here, because this never happened in 23 years with my ex-husband, and I honestly thought it was all Paul's fault. But anyway, in hindsight, and many lessons learned later, I realized it's the way I responded to him, his communication to me. So in other words, he would openly admit that he did what he called light the fire. In other words, he'd be quite irritable or snap at me over something on the back of, say, having had a bad day at work. And it's how I responded to him lighting that fire that caused the massive argument is what I realized was the difference. And so instead of responding in a feminine way, I was adding what he called paraffin to the fire. In other words, you know, I'd snap back at him, or I'd justify why I was right and he was wrong in whatever context that might be. And I'd be quite masculine in the way I responded. And all that did was cause more angst, because what that did was, from Paul's point of view, all he could feel at that point is another masculine energy in the room confronting him. It's like two stags butting their antlers together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he's picking up on. There's another male in the room acting aggressive towards me, was what he was feeling. So what did I need to learn from that? I needed to learn to pour water on that fire, is what I needed to learn. I needed to get the hose pipes, the watering cans, whatever else to hand. So instead of responding to that, you know, that irritation he had towards me, you know, because sometimes I did feel like, metaphorically speaking, he'd come home after having a bad day at work and want to, and as this is only in a metaphorical language, kick the cat, not literally kick the cat or kick me. You know, it's just like, you know, he needed to let off steam. And I just happened to be the person that he let off steam to. And the way I responded to that just escalated it into a massive, great big argument. So the way to respond to that sort of lighting a fire situation is to literally respond to it in a feminine way. And that is either just be quiet completely, or just respond with how you would naturally if you was feeling hurt. So in other words, if ouch or ow was the natural way you'd respond to feeling hurt, is to just say something like that. And what that does then is it makes him realize, and he hears himself being played back to himself then in the words that he's just aggressively said. And it makes him feel very, very guilty. And, you know, and he might not necessarily apologize straight away, I have to say. But, you know, when he's had time to reflect, believe me, he'll come pursuing you and you know, and you'll know he's been apologetic, whether he actually says sorry or not, by the way he's acting sheepish around you or asking you if you want a cup of tea or come and give you a cuddle or whatever. Actions will speak louder than words in sometimes in that context. But, you know, to me, I realized by responding in a feminine way that he beat himself up far more than I ever could verbally, you know, prior to learning this stuff, for being nasty in that situation. And for me now, it's a case of, listen, Lynn, what do you want? Do you want to be right, or do you want to maintain the intimacy? I wanted to maintain the intimacy, so I respond in a feminine way. And then he beats himself up anyway, and as I say, far worse than what I would have done if I'd have been verbally aggressive back to him.
Well, and the thing I like about what you're saying is, if someone comes home, if you know, your partner comes home and they're very, you know, angry, and if it's directly at you, it's a little different. If they're really freaking out about work, you know, you, and we're aware of that. I love the way you say, you know, you find the, it sounds like what you say is you find the compassion in it.
Yes.
And like you said, being treated like they are hurt. When somebody comes home like that, they are hurt. They're sick of it. They want to be treated better. And deep down, you know, they just feel terrible and they're hurt by it. So when you're right, when you respond in that way of compassion, now if somebody's taking their work and they're turning it into putting it all on me as far as, you know, saying, why isn't dinner ready? Why don't you have this done or that done? You know, that's a little different. That's where, instead of screaming back, I try, and this is hard, and tell me if this is something that you do, I try to step back a little bit and just don't shoot my mouth off really quickly, because I can do that, and that's my natural inclination to do that. But if I step back and take a breath,
yes,
and do nothing, oftentimes he looks up and goes, oh no.
but
he's such a good guy that he catches himself, and he rarely does it. Okay, believe me, we've been together 4 years. I know that's not that long, but he really does catch himself. But I think if you can, you know how they always say count to 10, you know?
Yeah, and exactly. And that is a good, that really is good advice, is to count to 10. Because like you say, again, it's about giving the man the space to really hear himself being aggressive at you for something that isn't your problem. It's his problem. You know, so it's giving him that space, that time again to respond now to you in a way that's, you know what? I was out of line there.
Sure. And that's, you know, that's key is, and I think a lot of married couples or couples who live together, whatever, they learn that over the years. And if they don't learn it, I mean, a couple of things happen. If they don't learn it, they end up having a tragic relationship. They stay together and it's no fun, or they end up splitting up. It's usually not a good outcome, because people don't like to be treated that way. And over time, even as compassionate as you are, if a person doesn't respond positively to you one way or the other, it just eats at you. It eats at you alive, and you just cannot deal with it. So, you know, that is a very, again, good reminders for us to have when we're dealing with our partners. How about any other communication techniques that you like to talk about, or was that the main one?
That was the main one. You know, in relation to resolving conflicts, it's around, you know, like you say, having the feminine compassion around that, you know, understanding it's not about you, it's about him, and giving him the space to hear what he's saying without you retaliating back in a masculine way, so that he really gets that, you know what, he's out of order and he needs to, you know, fix that problem, because men love to fix problems. You know,
that's
so
true.
By you being quiet, or actually just saying ouch or ow, or, you know, using the duct tape or the zip on the lip and just counting to 10 is a great way to allow that to happen, and him to and a great way to, you know, maintain the intimacy, because he'll come to you and he'll be sorry. And as I say, he won't necessarily always say he's sorry, but you'll know by his actions that he is.
And it's so interesting about problem solving, because you're right. You know, a lot of men, when they're talking to you, they just want you to listen. And oftentimes women generally like to hear, you know, their partner talk about solutions. And I am a big problem solver. I have worked very many years to just listen to what's going on and not try to come up with a solution. You know, oftentimes saying like, you know what, I totally have faith in you. You'll figure it out, because I know you will. And I'll tell you, you get the biggest smile when you uplift your partner's ego. And I'm saying this woman to man, me to him.
Yes.
Because you do believe in your partner. You know they'll figure it out, because really they have to figure it out in their own way. It's better for them. It's their way. It helps push confidence up. And And that's, you know, but it's hard because if I want to say a solution, I do try to hold back unless I think it's something really, really, really that I want to say.
If there's not, a way of saying it as well, Laurie. So, I mean, if you do want to come up with an option or an idea, like you just said, that's great what you just said around, you know, you can create spouse-fulfilling prophecies around bigging up your man, you know, like you say, saying things like, I know you can figure it out and you're great at doing this, that and the other, really boosts a man's ego and he'll want to live up to that, you know. Yes. and be that, whatever that might be. I forgot what my train of thought now, what I was going to say, what was we talking about?
Let's see. We were talking about lifting up the ego, saying it. If you're going to say something, you have to say it in a certain way. I said, sometimes I just have to maybe give a solution.
Yes. Yeah. Got it. Okay. So if you want to provide an alternative opinion or a solution, the way to put it across to a man would be to say, have you thought of this? Rather than you've got a better idea than what he's got. You see what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah,
Is this something you're considering?
Yeah. And then, have you thought of this idea or option or whatever it might be? And he can either say, yes, I've thought of that, but, you know, I still feel this is the way to go. Or he might say, you know what, that's a great idea. But, you know, if you're trying to force your ideas and opinions, men don't like unsolicited advice. So there's a way to present it, and that is to put it in the context of, have you thought of this? Or what do you think of this idea?
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And I'm just laughing here because my fiancé is going to listen to the show and he's going to know what I'm up to. But that's okay. Well, you know, I mean, I have a master's degree in counseling. I mean, you know, and I teach it. So it's you can't help but bring that into your life. And I've told my students that as well. You know what? You're going to take this home, and a lot of these skills are communication skills. You're not just going to use with clients, but you're going to use in your everyday, you know, interactions with people. So that's just the way it goes. But anyway, it's better to have somebody who knows, understands communication, like, you know, we and many of our listeners do who listen to the show, than not be able to do it at all. So we'll just go with that.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you know, I'm a bit intrigued because in reading through your information, There was a piece there I wanted to ask you about. You said, why do men lie? So tell us what that's all about.
Right. Okay. Well, why do men lie? Well, quite often the reason they do is because men can't deal with our emotional responses very well. You know, let me give an example. Okay. So the man's bumped the car and he's got to face the wife saying he's bumped the car. Now, if he knows that the wife is going to really freak out and create a load of drama over it, he's likely to lie about how that happened, if it was his fault. Mm-hmm. Or at least minimize it, or maybe even get it repaired without even knowing, because he can't deal with that emotional response. So if you're the sort of woman who really freaks out, and, you know, really or loses their temper over things like that, you know, when he makes a mistake, you're not providing the emotional safety for him to be honest. So he will lie about it, or he'll downplay it, or, you know, minimize it as much as he can get away with, because he just wouldn't want to be on the end of any drama or freaking out, is what it boils down to.
And the only way we can really deal with that is to maybe be a kinder person ourselves. Is there any other way?
It's about creating that emotional safety. So if he does say, look, honey, you know, I bumped the car, you know, and it was, you know, and he explains it was all his fault. It's just say, okay, that's fine. You know, and don't worry, you know, we all make mistakes. We're all human. Create that emotional safety for him to be able to be honest about it. Because he knows that you're not going to go berserk, whether that's crying, shouting, freaking out, or, you know, putting him down or whatever.
Yeah, because things like that happen. And, you know, I think so many of us have to take a step back, take a deep breath. You know, I'm extremely busy right now. I'm busier in terms of some things I'm trying to get done. And this is the first time I think Ryan has seen me this chaotic. And, you know, I continue to try to say, still take a deep breath, still make sure we're having connection time, still. And when you get chaotic like that, you can tend to just spew anything out because you're going too fast in your day. And I think we have to really, you know, if you get anything on this call, it's, I think, to take the step back, like we said, and be conscious of what's going on and realize really nothing's worth your relationship. Your relationship is what you've chosen. It's your heart. So no matter what's going, I know there's going to be a lot of money to be made. I know there's a lot of issues with children in your household or whatever's going on. That relationship is your foundation and what you chose and should be the most important thing.
Absolutely. You know, and it's asking yourself the question, you know, do I choose to be right or to create a drama over this? You know, is it worth it at the end of the day, or do I choose intimacy instead?
Right. Now, since we talked about, you know, how we can do to help kind of change that situation, how do we go to the opposite? How do you make a man your hero?
Well, it's sad to see these days that, you know, women have been sort of conditioned to become so independent that they don't accept a man's gifts these days anymore. In other words, let me give a few examples. You know, quite often now, if a man offers to carry your bags or hold the door open for you, quite often we'll, you know, they'll get shunned for that, or I'm quite capable of doing it for myself type response, rather than, do you know what, thank you, I really appreciate that. And, you know, these are the little ways that we can help men to be our heroes, because men want to make us happy and they like to feel like they're looking after us. So just purely by, you know, saying thank you for something like that that they've done, even though you're perfectly capable of carrying your own bags, you're perfectly capable of holding the door open for yourself, let him be chivalrous and, you know, appreciate it, because he loves it. He loves doing things like that for you.
That's true. And we do forget that. I'm a very, you know, independent woman. I mean, I'm getting married very late in life. I love having the door open for me. I love when he opens the car door. I love anytime he steps, like we're together, and I love this, he steps back and lets me go first. I just love that. So I don't want men who are listening to think that there are a few, obviously, women like this, but that don't want that. But most women, they really want to be treated that way. They want to be respected. And that's just a way of showing respect and kindness. It's not saying, you know, oh, you're just a delicate little lady. These guys these days know we got it going on, and we can make life happen if we want on our own. It's not about that. It's about doing the relationship. Like you said, you got to do the relationship. You're not two independent people.
Exactly. You know, it's recognizing that, you know, he's offering you a gift in that action. You know, he's offering you the opportunity to let you know that he's making you happy. You know, so anything that he offers to do for you, you know, men do love appreciation. I mean, women don't necessarily, you know, for every domestic chore we do for a man, we don't need to be praised and appreciated for it. But men thrive on that stuff. They really do. So if he does anything for you whatsoever, if you make a big deal of being really grateful and thankful and appreciative of it, guess what? You're going to get a whole lot more off him.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so true. So when we talk about like the big relationship mistakes women make, we have kind of talked through some things. Have we covered those yet? The three biggest.
Yeah, there are some. I think the main big three are, and like you say, we have covered it a little bit in our previous dialogue, but you know, don't be smothering and needy in the relationship. Men can pick up on that, you know. Oh. And if you're making him responsible for your whole world being happy, they feel that pressure and they'll just want to pull away. So, you know, do come from a place of confidence in yourself. You know, you don't need to be smothering and needy, because that is so easily picked up on by a man, and it's so repellent and unattractive. So that's the first relationship mistake. The second one is, you know, are you controlling? Which is very much how I used to be. And in other words, leading the relationship, are you always the one that initiates contact, and are you the one that's pursuing him? If you are, stop that right now. And as I said before, got that 80-20 rule of allowing him to be the man in the relationship.
Right. Oh, this is things that we need, especially if people are starting over, to go back to remembering, or if you've been in the relationship so long that you kind of get so comfortable that you forget to do those things. So it works for single and people in relationships. So before we wrap up here, I know we've got, you know, I've got some more things I want to talk to you about, but they all three kind of fall in the, you know, why he's pulling away, how to deal with infidelity, and what is a man's natural intimacy rhythm. So why don't we talk about the pulling away and infidelities first, and then we'll end it on a more positive note.
Yeah.
So why does he pull away and become, you know, perhaps, you know, there's infidelity in the relationship?
Well, you know, one of the things that could cause him to pull away is, you know, if there is that conflict and drama going on regularly in the relationship, as we spoke about before, and how you can negate that by responding more in a feminine way, that's something that makes men pull away, is if they're feeling, you know, that no matter what they do, it's never enough, or that you're not creating that emotional safety for them to be honest, like we discussed before, because you're always freaking out and having a masculine response to any likely conflict that's likely to occur. And if there's infidelity in the relationship, if it's him involved in another woman, I would advise, again, giving him his space. A lot of women think, oh, I'm not good enough, start pursuing, chasing him, you know, trying to prove they're more attractive than the other woman and all this sort of thing. Forget that, you know. Give him his space. Get on with your life. The best thing you can do is show that you don't need him in your life and that you're perfectly capable of getting on with your life without him. And then, you know what? Guess what? He'll want to come running back to see why you're not, why you're losing interest and why you're not pursuing him. You know, because what most men do expect these days is they think, oh, you know, if they've got a woman that's really available to them and offering themselves them on a platter, that's not attractive.
Well, whereas then sorry to interrupt you, go ahead.
Yes, whereas if you act and behave, you know what, okay, you want that other woman, go and have that other woman. I can, you know, I'm obviously deserve to have somebody better in my life other than yourself. And the moment you sort of detach from wanting to prove yourself worthy of him, and that obviously then comes across again as being needy and smothering. Once you detach yourself away from that and think to yourself, you know what, I deserve better, and you get on with your life and you fill your life up with other activities, you know, such as going out with girlfriends and focusing totally on yourself rather than him, guess what? He starts to become more interested then in wanting you to win you back.
Right. But then when we talk about infidelity, that's a whole other story, because then it becomes, do I even want him back again? And I know we're running out of time. We may not be able to get into that, but understanding that, you know, the most confident of women know that they have options and know that, especially, you know, if you're in a strong, committed relationship, that you're not going to put up with that. So the last thing that I'd like to do is before we've got to get into your promotions and wrap this up, but I would really like to talk about, what is men's natural intimacy rhythm?
Well, it's just a case of recognizing that, you know, sometimes there's not a reason why he's pulling away that's down to your behavior. So, you know, the behaviors I spoke about before, you know, in relation to freaking out or being smothering and needy and being totally too dependent on him, not taking responsibility for doing what you need to do in your own life to create the happiness that you deserve, and him being the cherry on the top in that life, rather than making it all about him, is what I wanted to get across. So a man's natural intimacy rhythm is a situation whereby you haven't done anything that's made him want to withdraw. In other words, you haven't engaged in any of these relationship mistakes. But sometimes, you know, when you've had a really intense period of intimacy with a man, he just needs to naturally pull away as part of his intimacy rhythm to re-energize again. And that doesn't mean it's your fault. It just means he just needs that space, his man time. And a lot of women tend to freak out when that happens because they think, oh, what have I done? You've done nothing wrong. It's just that he needs to reload the Cupid's bow arrow. You know, he just needs to stretch that bowstring again, you know, because there's been a lot of intimacy. You've had a lot of passion recently, and he just needs to now back off, you know, recharge his batteries, reload his arrow before he then comes back to you again. And that's just all part and parcel of his natural intimacy rhythm. It doesn't mean you've done anything wrong whatsoever. So don't freak out, you know, if that happens.
Well, thank you so much, Lynn Smith, for being on the show. Been reminded of a lot of things, learned some things, and that's what we're all about here on the Happiness Hangout, is feeling better in our relationship. So why don't you take a minute and tell our listeners, they'll be listening through podcast this time because we are pre-recording, but I would like for you to tell them, what is up with going on with you? What's up with you right now? I know you have a book out there. Tell our audience how they can find you or what you'd like them to know about you.
All right. They can find me on hunkycaveman.com, which you might find quite hilarious as being the name for my business. But it's named after Paul, actually, because he is my hunky caveman. It's a bit tongue in cheek, a bit controversial, because the reason why I call him my hunky caveman is because I know that, you know, what has driven relationships is what has driven relationships since humankind began. So there's that sort of element to it. But also, it's around, I suppose, knowing and getting back to who we truly are at our authentic feminine selves, as been since, you know, mankind first worked the earth as well. So there's a bit of humor injected into that, because I like to inject a bit of humor in what can be a very serious topic, obviously. But, you know, I like to make my trainings interactive. And so I just thought Hunky Caveman was a fun name, and named it after him. So you can go to www.hunkycaveman.com. There's my book link on there, which is called The Cupid Bow Technique, which shows you how to go from casual to committed using the power of polarization. There's some video tips on there. And if you are interested in going deeper, then you can also go on to the next step with lynn.com, and we can arrange a discovery call, and we can see how we can work together if that's what you'd like to do.
Well, wonderful. So again, we've had Lynn Smith, hunkycaveman.com. Like that name very much. And Lynn, we appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laurie. I really enjoyed it.
Now I'd like to thank our sponsors. If you want to find me and all the articles and information that I put out there on happiness and relationships, got lots of articles and information and resources out there, just go to www.LoriePeters.123look.com. Also, our sponsors, AirServe of Menor and AirServe of Strongsville, your residential and commercial heating and cooling companies in Cleveland, Ohio. Veteran-owned, providing the best warranties and guarantees and best financing in the business. Go to www.airserve.com. That's AIRESERV.com. Humanity Thriving Out Loud. Read The Magic Happens magazine. Go to www.themagichappensnow.com. Thanks, everybody, for being with us, and see you next time on the Happiness Hangout.
Hi. This is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information.